Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
As the world continues to be racked by conflict and escalations, Pope Francis reminds world leaders that war is always a defeat. As the situation in the Middle East continues to deteriorate, Caritas Jerusalem provides aid and food in the West Bank. And to mark the catechesis in St. Peter's Square this morning, the Pope invited everyone to reflect on the moments we feel stuck and trapped in a dead end. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Warning that the atrocity of modern scientific weapons risks leading combatants to barbarism far greater than in the past, Pope Leo XIV pleaded with world leaders to remember that war is always a defeat and that nothing is lost with peace. Everything is lost with war. With more on the Pope's appeal for peace, here's Christopher Wells.
The heart of the Church is rent asunder, Pope Leo lamented on Wednesday, by the cries rising up from places of war, especially Ukraine, Iran, Israel, and Gaza. Speaking at the weekly general audience, the Holy Father insisted we must never become accustomed to war, but instead reject as a temptation the allure of powerful and sophisticated weapons. He warned that the use of scientific weapons of all kinds in modern warfare risks leading combatants to a barbarism far greater than that of times past. Appealing directly to world leaders, Pope Leo echoed his predecessor, Pope Francis, who had so often declared, "War is always a defeat."
La guerra è sempre una sconfitta.
And he recalled the words of Pope Pius XII, who led the Church during the Second World War.
Nulla è perduto con la pace. Tutto può esserlo con la guerra.
Nothing is lost with peace. Everything can be lost with war. In Ukraine, Russian airstrikes on civilian targets have intensified in recent weeks, with at least 18 people killed and 151 wounded in overnight drone and missile strikes. Noting that the attack on Kyiv was the deadliest so far this year, the United Nations Human Rights Monitoring Mission in Ukraine warned of the dangers of using such weapons in major cities. Last night's attack exemplifies the grave threat posed by the tactic of deploying missiles and large numbers of drones simultaneously into populated areas, which leads to civilian casualties and profound suffering, said Danielle Bell, head of the HRMMU. In the Middle East, thousands of people are fleeing the Iranian capital, Tehran, as Israel continues to carry out strikes aimed at eliminating Iran's nuclear program. More than 220 people were reportedly killed in the initial round of Israeli strikes, including military leaders and nuclear scientists. On Wednesday, Israeli military sources said their air force had struck 20 targets in Tehran overnight. In response, Iran has launched some 400 missiles at Israel, with approximately 40 making it through Israeli air defenses. Authorities in Israel claim 24 people have been killed by the strikes. Meanwhile, Israeli forces are continuing military operations in Gaza, ostensibly seeking to destroy the Hamas political and military organization. On Tuesday, Israeli tanks reportedly fired on crowds awaiting trucks carrying humanitarian aid. Medics present at the scene said almost 60 people were killed and more than 220 wounded, including about 20 in critical condition. Israel admitted firing in the area and said it was looking into the incident. I'm Christopher Wells.
And as Chris was saying there, as the situation in the Middle East deteriorates further, Caritas Jerusalem does what it can to provide emergency medical aid in Gaza and food assistance in the West Bank. Anton Asfar, director of Caritas Jerusalem, spoke to Jean-Benoît Harel about the church's local humanitarian work on the ground.
Our teams in Gaza, we have currently 122 staff operating all over Gaza, providing life-saving services all over Gaza. Although of the scarcity of the resources, the humanitarian corridors has been blocked, so no aid is coming in, and there is a lot of suffering in Gaza. You can't find proper food, no clean water. People are suffering from different kind of diseases spread, the stomach aches ongoing because of the no clean water. There is a spread of mosquitoes even in Gaza, which is spreading also infectious diseases. Our colleagues in Gaza also are witnessing children, barefoot children, standing over solid waste, searching for the remains of the food in order to feed themselves. So the situation is really catastrophic in Gaza. And with the absence of law in Gaza, it's becoming very dangerous to operate.
Caritas Jerusalem is also working in the West Bank. What can you tell us about the situation there and your work?
I see changes on the ground, really significant changes on the ground, like building fences, new settlement outposts are set, and the people are really suffering because the West Bank is crippled. There is this, very strict procedures imposed on movement within the West Bank. The need is immense, and we can't answer all the needs in the West Bank. Almost 200,000 laborers who are unemployed in the West Bank. With the total shutdown of the tourism sector, no pilgrims are coming in the West Bank. And Bethlehem is depending highly on the pilgrimages. So we try to support these families, whether by supporting them with food, with cash assistance, and also providing also farmers with the names, with the seedlings. The economy is really struggling in the West Bank.
And that was Anton Asfar, director of Caritas Jerusalem, speaking there to Jean-Benoît Harel. U.S. President Donald Trump on Monday doubled down on his goal to conduct mass deportations in some of the country's biggest cities. He ordered the country's Immigration and Customs Enforcement to do all in their power to oversee the largest mass deportation program in history. In response, Archbishop Timothy Braulio, president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, spoke to Radio Vatican's Augustin Osta, offering his solidarity to those affected and calling for an end to the administration's measures. He insisted immigrants receive the right to a day in court.
The situation is the immigration system is broken. As bishops, we have advocated for decades now that there be immigration reform so that people who want to come here legally have a system that works. And in the past, the United States government asked the Catholic Church through our social services to take care of people who had already been vetted and to provide them with food and clothing and shelter until their situation could be resolved. The current administration canceled most of those programs and have taken the avenue of expelling people who are here illegally. One of our great concerns is the separation of families. It's quite possible that a husband and wife would be here illegally, but they've given birth to children who, because we have the jus soli, are legal, are citizens. And so parents might be expelled, but children not. Everyone would agree that, yes, we should be able to live in our cities in peace and tranquility. However, these actions deprive people even of the due process, the ability to be before a judge, to have their situations evaluated. And so that's been denied to them. And that's a basic human right that's being denied. And so that's also a concern of the church in the United States. We're trying as a church on a number of fronts. We're trying, obviously, to provide the first necessities that these people might need. We're trying to defend them through our system of lawyers to offer them legal assistance. We're also trying to work with legislators to see if we can't influence a change in the law and the necessary reform. And at the same time, we're trying to urge our people to be calm, to be open to the immigrant, and to recognize in him or her the person of Christ.
And that was Archbishop Timothy Broglio, president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, speaking to Augustine Astar. Meanwhile, in Europe, as the weather in the English Channel clears, the French police are reportedly struggling to halt a potentially record-breaking surge of people from reaching the UK in small boats organised by a growing network of smuggling gangs. Although the French authorities claim they're now intercepting more than two-thirds of those boats before they reach the sea, smugglers are now changing tactics to launch so-called taxi boats from new sites in new ways and with ever greater speed. St. Peter's Square was filled with hundreds of families and groups this morning for Pope Leo's weekly general audience. In his catechesis, the Pope focused on the story of Jesus healing the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethsaida in St. John's Gospel. He invited everyone to reflect on the moments we feel stuck and trapped in a dead end. Pope Leo warned against letting disappointment in life paralyze us. Rather, as Kelsey Gussie reports, the Pope encouraged everyone to ask God for the grace to recognize where we have gotten stuck and urged them to voice their desire for healing.
In his catechesis, Pope Leo reflected on the story of Jesus visiting the sick and needy at the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem. There he meets a paralyzed man at this pool, where everyone hoping for a miracle would wait to rush into the water when it was stirred up, believing it had healing powers. The Pope pointed out that Bethesda means House of Mercy, which can reflect an image of the church, where the sick and the poor gather, and where the Lord comes to bring healing and hope. This man Jesus meets had been paralyzed for 38 years and had become resigned to his fate because he never made it to the pool.
Jesus' question to him, "Do you want to be healed?" was penetrating. It challenged the paralytic's sense of helplessness and resignation and invited him to hope that his life could be changed. Jesus tells him to stand, take up his mat, and walk.
Pope Leo warned against letting this defeatist mentality become an excuse to avoid making decisions about our lives. How the paralytic man responded to Jesus shows how he saw life. He argued there is no one to help him into the pool, so the blame is placed not on himself, but on others who haven't helped him. But Pope Leo posed the question, was it really true that he had no one to help him? Drawing on the words of his spiritual father, St. Augustine, Pope Leo attempted to answer this question. He pointed out that the paralytic needed not just the helping hand, but a man who was also God, that is, Jesus. And Jesus helped the man turn his view of life from fatalistic, that things just happen due to bad luck, to personal responsibility. His mat became a symbol of his past illness and personal history. Yet now, the man has the ability to walk and the mindset to write his own story. To close his catechesis, Pope Leo encouraged everyone to ask God for the grace to recognize where we have gotten stuck and urge them to voice their desire for healing. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
And finally, this evening, Wednesday evening, Pope Leo XIV is due to meet with a group of a foundation, a music foundation and choir to mark the 500th anniversary from the birth of great composer and organist Pierluigi da Palestrina. Do keep on following us for a full update on that story. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. But as I said, follow us on our website and on our latest updates on Facebook, X and Instagram. My thanks go to Gustavo Messina in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.